flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Expecting to be joined by Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette momentarily. Covers the Steelers, also covers Pitt, hoops, and football for that outlet. Doran, I have had tummy troubles this morning, and I'm wondering if it could be because I took DayQuil on an empty stomach. May that be it?
Are you asking me for like maybe advice or like?
I'm just wondering because I don't.
You always have tummy troubles.
Not like this. I don't want to get into too much detail. As Starkey would say, more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
What'd you eat last night?
I don't know if this is it, but my wife has been fascinated with this recipe lately that she saw on Instagram: peanut noodles.
Mm.
So it's like an Asian dish, mm-hmm. right? Noodles, make a sauce with peanut butter and some spices and
peanut
everything.
Sauce.
Yeah, peanut sauce. How'd you know that? You guys been talking?
AI.
So there's that there was some chicken thighs up in there. It was really tasty, incredibly thick.
Mm-hmm.
Super thick and gooey, but tasty. And maybe that's it.
Maybe. It was
very
mixed
heavy.
Mixed with the medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, empty stomach today, just bubbling up on me.
Mm.
I might.
Not good.
Can I stand the rest of the show?
Yeah, you could do whatever you want.
I don't feel good. 412-928-9370.
Or maybe it's what Callis had yesterday.
Yeah, whatever happened with you, Callis? Were you stopped up or did it all, you know, make
no,
its way out?
No, nap time helped. That was it.
Nap time helped. That's
nap
it.
Time.
So he's like a 5-year-old.
He has a baby. Yep, nap time.
There was a time in life where nap time would change everything.
Mm-hmm.
That time is not now. Half the time I feel worse after a nap.
Yes, groggy.
Yes. Text us, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Steelers have been linked to, you guessed it, another quarterback. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. But this is a really good text because we're going to talk to Carter about Pitt. Pitt has nothing but big games left on their basketball schedule. They have 11 left. They need to get to 22 wins before the ACC tournament if they want to get into the dance. I don't know that they need 22. I don't know what that number is. What I do know is their schedule eases up considerably. Wake's not going to be a walk in the park, but I do think Pitt's going to be favored in that game, and I expect them to win. They've got North Carolina on the road in a couple of games. That's going to be no walk in the park, and it's going to come down to the wire. You would have to figure. apart from that, there's a lot of not great teams left, and that's a great thing. That's also a dangerous thing.
Right.
Because you have to win them. You
got to win those games that you're supposed to win.
Yes, because I think that bad losses hurt you more than good wins help you. And I'm not saying that's right. I have fallen so out of love with the net rankings. Bad losses to me, I don't know if they should count more or less than big wins, but I think we should have the conversation. But that's what Pitt's got the rest of the way. A couple of quad, one or two opportunities, and the rest of games, you just got to take care of business. And they're still right on the bubble, according to Joe Lunardi.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the most accurate bracketologist out there, but he is certainly the most notable, and he invented the business. He's got them still right on that line. Even with that North Carolina win, he moved them up one spot.
One spot, right.
One. But you know if they lose to Wake, they might be the last team in or something like that. And again, this is coming from a West Virginia guy. I don't know. I watch Pitt, and they had the four-game losing streak. I get it. I watch them. I see the talent that they have. And I think that's a tournament team. But I thought the same thing last year at the end. I thought they could have gone to the Sweet 16 if they got in. So this is a massive, massive stretch for them the last 11 games. And, man, I'm not going to say you have to win all of them. But I do think the margin for error is really slim and probably slimmer than it should be for a team that I believe to be a quality one.
Like, let's look at the North Carolina game coming up in a couple weeks or whatever. Like,
I think a couple of games.
Or a couple of games. Like, if they lose that game, will they fall? Like, will they fall one spot? Like, North Carolina fell, what, one or two spots?
Right.
So is that, and if they win, they clearly aren't going to move up. So is that an affordable loss is what I'm saying. You know, because you already beat them by a couple points, but if you and they slid down a couple spots and you slid up a one spot, if you do that game again, there, if you lose that game, will you just lose one spot?
That might be the losable game left.
That might
left.
Be the one losable game left that's kind of a wash because if you lose to a bad team, you're going to drop significantly. I think they look at it like this. If you're a really good team, you shouldn't lose to bad teams. If you're a really bad team and you beat a good team, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a good team and you beat a really good team, sometimes that the really good teams get beat.
Yeah. It's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's really dumb.
I kind of understand it, though. Like, if you're really good and you're a tournament team, you shouldn't lose to bad teams.
Sure. Sure.
You should beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
And so you do think that should weigh more?
I don't know if it should, but I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the thought process. I understand the thought process.
And look, it's not a foolproof system, obviously, as we're discussing now. They needed to find something to kind of right-size everything when you've got all these teams in different conferences and how do they compare to each. Let's talk to Chris Carter about that. And a couple of Steelers things. A couple of Steelers nuggets with Chris, too. Chris from the Post-Gazette. Hi, Chris. How you doing today, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Are you in a bathroom right now?
No, I'm in my office.
At your house?
Yes.
I wish I had an office in my house. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I want to ask you about a quarterback the Steelers have recently been linked to, but we were just talking about Pitt hoops and their remaining schedule, Chris. Like, how many losses do you think they can afford down the stretch? Like, the eye test tells us that this is a tournament team, but I think their margin for error is really slim right now, and I'm not looking at a ton of resume builders along the way here.
I think here's the thing. You look at this, and you look at Pitt's schedule. When they hit their four-game losing streak, they kind of spent the capital they had built for themselves with their 12-2 start. So at 12-6, I said, all right, you got 13 games. You need to win 9 of them to get back to where you were last year. And yes, that was intentional. And so now they've won two. They won the first two of those games. So now, in my book, they need to win 7 games. Now, somebody's going to look at that and say, hey, that's only 21 wins. That's exactly where they were last year. And I would agree. Yes, it is. However, the thing is, last year, they had literally, they were ranked in the 300s in college basketball in their non-conference strength of schedule. And when I talked to Joe Lunardi, Mike DeCourcy, and a whole bunch of other bracketologists, everyone was like, listen, that is going to hang them up in this selection committee. It's going to be such a big obstacle to overcome. This year, they rank in the 50s. So like, when I talk to the bracketologists now, they're like, I talked to Mike DeCourcy after that win over North Carolina. He said, right now, they are in. So as far as how they need to handle things down the stretch, they need to avoid the bad losses. Like, they can't lose to, like, a Miami or Syracuse or Boston College. Like, if they lose to – like, if they go down the stretch and they lose to North Carolina on the road or Wake Forest on the road and then, like, Louisville on the road, if they lose – those are the three losses there. Or, like, you know, they should be fine. But if they lose any of those home games, because all they got left at home are, like, bad teams like Virginia and Miami and Syracuse and Georgia Tech, if they lose those games – then it'll come into question a little bit more. But right now, like, you look at Joe Lunardi, he has them as a – he gives them a bye, as does Mike DeCourcy after that North Carolina win. So right now, Pitt's in a good spot, but they got to keep earning that good spot. And if they win Saturday at Wake Forest, that'll be a really good mark for them.
Chris, if you were NFL commissioner, how would you fix the Pro Bowl?
I've gone over several things. The competitions that they're doing, it's fine to have separate competitions, but make the competitions prove something. Have an actual, like, 40-yard dash competition. Like, guys, who's actually the fastest in the NFL? Make it something about the pride of these games, because that's the thing. Like, you look at this, like, there's a game show. Like, who cares about a game show? A dodgeball, things like some of it's, like, fun. But I think that the thing about the Pro Bowl is, like, when I was a kid, I used to turn it on because I wanted to see Sean Taylor just kill somebody. Or I wanted to
like
see
a punter.
You know, Hines Ward. Exactly. Yeah, jeez. He did. But the thing is that, like, you wanted to see crazy things here. So what do you want to see now? Like, you know, a lot of players opt out. But if, let's say, like, if you talk to, like, the top receivers, Ja'Marr Chase got to prove he was the fastest guy in the NFL versus, like, I don't know, the top corner, like Patrick Surtain. Like, that would be fun. Like, seeing guys, like, do that kind of stuff, I think that would be cool. So make it about that. Players obviously don't want to hit each other because, you know, they're not trying to get hurt. But, like, if you had competitions that literally proved every year who's the fastest, who's the strongest, who's the most accurate, who's the quickest, those types of things, I think it might be a little bit more fun. Fans might be like, hey, I want to see, even though Martin sucked this year, I want to see if Myles Garrett can bench press the most or something like that.
I was really scared yesterday because I saw Myles Garrett giving an interview right next to Russell Wilson, and I thought he was going to assault him with a helmet. It got me right in the feels. I was nervous about it. Chris, all right, last thing here for you, buddy. Matthew Stafford, it's been leaked out there. He is definitely interested in coming back. What we do not know is if the Rams are amenable to that at this particular time. I'm not sure why they wouldn't be, but if he were somehow available, would you go after one Matthew Stafford?
So, a few things about Matthew Stafford. I think that he's still really talented. He obviously, you know, is a franchise quarterback. My only thing is, he's 36. He'll be 37 in, like, a few days. I think he's a week from turning 37. And you ask that question that you ask yourself with Russell Wilson, you ask yourself, talk about Kirk Cousins, how much longer does this guy have before he hits the age wall that, like, Ben Roethlisberger hit when you're there? And so I think you can talk to him. You might want to, like, see about a physical and see, like, where is he at? The other thing is that with his age, you need to make sure that this offensive line is really good. And I think that's a problem that came from this year. This was a year to develop the O-line to feel like they're stronger and that they could protect, you know, any quarterback. And you didn't get that this year. And that's something that Mike Tomlin, Pat Meyer, Arthur Smith, they got to address that this offseason. That cannot be a question next year. And because of that, that's why I've been saying I think Justin Fields is the move if the Steelers want to pick a quarterback that's been on their roster, because at least he can protect himself. Russell Wilson, he can protect himself a little bit, but not nearly as well. And so if the Steelers had an offensive line that was stronger, and maybe they will. Maybe Troy Fontana will be great. Maybe Zach Frazier will be awesome next year and Broderick Jones takes a step up, all those things. But they don't know, and if I don't know, I have a hard time because I'd also probably be paying a lot of money to get Matt Stafford. So I'd be a little hesitant to do that right now because of my offensive line if I'm the Steelers.
Chris, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you calling us from your bathroom. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
Pat. See you.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. He says Pitt's in a good spot, and they are. If the season ended today, they would be in the tournament. But my concern would be, if I'm a Pitt fan, like, I don't know how many resume builders there are left. And so the way I look at it is, I think they're going to be a bubble team or a cusp or on the cusp of the bubble, maybe the rest of the way. Like they are 1-6 in quad one games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not many of those left along the way. Like you could see, like they might finish. Let's play it out. They could be 3-6 or 2-7 or something like that in quad one games. And then you just need to have no bad losses.
Right.
And I think that gets them in. That's what a bubble resume is.
They don't have any resume builders. They have resume tear downers.
No question. And like I look at Pitt and I actually compare them to West Virginia. They're a little bit different, but they both to me have bubble resumes. West Virginia has a bunch of great wins. They also have some crappy losses. And every time they lose, they get their butt kicked. That, to me, is a bubble resume.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Pitt and you're 1-6 in quad one games, but you don't have any of these really head-scratcher losses, except for Florida State, like that's a bubble resume to me. If you are more consistent, that's when you are firmly in the field. 412-928-9370. Doran. Matthew Stafford. I at least want to talk it out a little bit coming up next. I know you love Stafford. Does he make sense for the Steelers? Would they trade him to Pittsburgh? Do they want to move on? There are some reports out there that indicate they might. We'll get to that coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In about 10 minutes, Doran, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do something for the first time in my entire sports fandom. And I wonder if you can get on board.
Okay.
Right now, Matt Stafford. I wouldn't say there's a lot of smoke on this, but Evan Cohen from ESPN, he was talking on his radio show, and he said that, okay, Stafford wants to come back. He's 37 years old. He wants to keep playing football. Not sure that the Rams want to keep doing that, though. They might look at this as their time to transition. And if that's the case, and Stafford wants to play, would you at least poke around? Did you give him a ring? See if maybe you could trade for his rights?
No.
Me neither.
No. I think you need a more mobile quarterback, especially behind this offensive line, which is young. Don't know, as Chris said, what this offensive line is going to be this coming year. They could be a lot better, but they're still young. They're still learning, and you need somebody that can actually move back there. And Stafford's going to be 37 years old, and he cannot move at all. He's never really been able to move. So, no, I don't think that would work at all on that side. But on the real side, Stafford would never come here. Like if he, so they would have to trade him, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing
they would let him pick. I'm guessing that, but probably.
Matthew Stafford is from Texas. He played high school football in Texas. At Miami University in Texas. He played college football in Athens, Georgia. He played NFL football indoors in Detroit, and he played NFL football indoors in LA. He is not going to go to somewhere like Pittsburgh and play whenever he's 37 years old outside.
I think you are 100% correct on that analysis, and I also wouldn't be interested if he were interested. I think Stafford's a better player than Russell Wilson. I think that's inarguable. The game he played, I reference this all the time, against the Buffalo Bills this year was one of the best quarterback games that I can remember in a long time, at the very least. So when he has his A game, he's still an elite player, Matt Stafford. But blur out the names. 36-year-old that was here. A 37-year-old that was in L.A. How old's Rodgers? A 40-year-old. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in Kirk Cousins. You can change the names. It's still the same thing.
Yeah.
Even if you got A-plus Matt Stafford this year and the offensive line grew leaps and bounds, what does that guarantee you?
Nothing.
Nothing. And you're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round this year. You'd be silly, I think, to do that. So it's not like it would even be the stopgap thing with the heir apparent there. I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. I read Pony's tweet yesterday. He said he'd give up 2 second-round picks for Matthew Stafford. No, now you're just, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, you're pushing your future down the road.
Yes.
For Matthew Stafford.
Right.
Who couldn't get it done with a great offensive-minded head coach and a pretty good receiving core, pretty good running back, pretty decent offensive line. He couldn't get it done this year.
He has the most, the second best offensive mind in this sport. Him, Andy Reid, yep. Shanahan, put them all in a bucket. Mm-hmm. Whatever one you pull out, you know, is going to be able to score points. He's not going to come here and be your savior.
No.
Now, if this was a tremendous NFL draft for quarterbacks, like if you could trade up and get Bo Nix even, and you wanted to bring in Stafford and let Bo Nix sit, I might be amenable to it, but that's not how this is going to go, nor is it how it should go. I'm just tired of the stopgap thing. And, hey, Justin Fields is a stopgap, but he's 12 years younger right now than Matthew Stafford is. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to – someone has to play the position. And if I'm going to spend money on someone this offseason, I want it to be as little as possible with as much upside. Bang for buck. And Stafford is more likely to, I think, to fall off a cliff here than he would be to lead you to a playoff victory.
There's no doubt.
Meanwhile, Justin Fields, he might not lead you to a playoff victory. He probably won't.
But you still have a chance to see if he could be your future.
Correct. Texter, we're going to be like the Pirates. No quarterback's going to want to come here and be handcuffed. Well, I think that applies to wide receiver more than anything else. Like, maybe Fields doesn't want to come back here. Perhaps the texter is right. Maybe Russell Wilson doesn't want to come back here. Perhaps the texter is right. But I think you're really going to have that issue at wide receiver, something we've discussed before. Like, this idea that T. Higgins would want to come here.
No.
That's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the... Like, a couple weeks ago, we were at Bowser. My dream offseason. It's why it's a dream. Sign T. Higgins. Draft Tet from Arizona. McMillan, thank you. Thank you, me. Thank you, Brain. Really appreciate that buffering and delay right there. Like, that's a dream scenario. Neither of those things are going to happen. You could break the bank. You could offer T. Higgins $3 or $4 more million than the next highest bidder. I would still, at 30 plus million, even if it's less than the Steelers offer, go someplace else.
Only way T. Higgins would ever remotely want to come here is if they overpay, one, and two, is because he gets to play the Bengals twice a year.
And he might want to shove it up their backside.
Yeah. If that relationship ended salty, that could be the only reason why I could see him wanting to come here.
Yeah.
Just like that was the only reason why I could see Baker Mayfield maybe wanting to come
yes.
here at the time whenever he was about to get paid.
Revenge is a tremendous motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, my old company, I'll do them again. I already got them this morning at 540. They didn't know what they had in me, and now here we are. Look at our rating success. We are wildly popular. It's mostly because of you, but I'll take credit for it. Like, revenge is a great motivator. Did you hear TK yesterday?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. He was on with Starkey and Pomp, and he was talking about how some guys at the end of their careers in the NHL, like, there's so much you're weighing, right? Do I want to go someplace... Like, you're on the trade block. Do I want to go someplace and try to chase a championship? Well, if I already have one, maybe that's not the primary motivator. Do I want to go someplace warm? He said that's something that a lot of players factor in.
No doubt.
Like, you've won multiple championships. All of a sudden, Anaheim calls. They're not going to win anything. But if you're bad here, where it's cold all winter long, or in, like, Winnipeg, would I rather be bad there, or would I rather go be bad in a place where I can go to the beach on my off days?
Right, like, I'd want to retire, like, if I was a hockey player, like, I want to retire or have played my last couple years with the Lightning.
I think I'd rather be in Tampa.
Yeah, I want to play with the Lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I know after practice I could walk and sit on the beach.
So the reason I bring that up is I had never thought of it that way. Like, I'm a fan. And so for me, I just want to win, baby. Just let me win. And I think that should be what motivates everybody. But it doesn't. Like, if you've won 3 championships, like, if you're Chris Kunitz and he did finish his career in Tampa, I'm sure he wants to chase a ring. But, like, I've won 4 Stanley Cups. Maybe I just want to go and be warm because I don't need to prove anything anymore. I've won four championships.
You know what else is big with NFL players in this scenario is the state tax states.
Good point.
It's huge. I mean, I remember guys talking about that when I was playing. Like, yes, live in Tennessee, live in Florida, or live in Texas. Like, that's the places where a lot of guys are like, I'll play for the Jaguars, I'll play for the Titans, I'll play for the Cowboys or the Texans because of the and make my resident there, my residency there, my house and everything, and I won't have to pay the taxes on it.
It's a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
Massive. And that came up in the Brandon Ayuk thing, because California's got such high taxes that, hey, if the Steelers offer what the 49ers offered, he'd actually be getting more bang for his buck. Point being, I would put it a very low percentage that T. Higgins would want to be here, but I guess you can't rule everything out. You can't. 5%.
I mean, they would literally have to overpay.
Yes, overpay, and then the revenge thing would have to matter.
Yes.
412-928-9370. Tomorrow, I'm going to do something for the first time. Hold your jokes, all of you. I can see your faces. I'm going to watch a team, and I'm going to do something for the first time. I'll tell you what that is. I see our friend Jenna Harner also had a sit-down with Art Rooney II, where she asked him what kind of quarterback they'd be looking for, in a much more diplomatic answer this time. In the media scrum, it was, you got to be able to attack from the pocket, and Mike Tomlin at the end of the season press conference talked about mobility, so it seemed like they weren't seeing eye to eye. Well, now in the interview with Jenna for Channel 11, and she does a great job, he said, you look around the league, it's a bunch of mobile guys who can also throw from the pocket, so you just want to get the best available option.
Mm.
Not really breaking news, but I thought a good question by Jenna to kind of follow up on that. I said I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I mean this. Tomorrow, the Penguins play the Nashville Predators. And I don't like the Predators, based on the history and the Stanley Cup. And who's that country singer who's married to
Carrie Underwood?
She drives me nuts anymore.
Why?
Ever since then.
Oh.
Ever since then. She's supporting her husband. What a terrible person. Why would you want to do that? I'm going to root for the Penguins to lose, man. They actually watch the game and be rooting for the Penguins to lose. And I've said things before, like, okay, it would make a lot of sense to tank. You know, watching my college football team this year, like, if they lose, it's not the worst thing because they'll probably fire the coach. But I didn't sit and watch the game and root for the team to lose. I could never bring myself to do that as a sports fan. Like, oh, man, I hope West Virginia loses to Texas Tech. While it was happening, I thought, it's not the worst thing. I'm actually going to root against the Penguins tomorrow. I think the best thing for them is to stink, and it'll hurt me every time they win the rest of the way.
If they thought that was the best thing for them, they would have kept Jari around.
Yes.
So, I don't know if they think the same way, but I can see where you want them to lose in the tank, but I don't think that they're going to. I don't think that their thought process is to do that. I think it's right in the middle, like you were saying before, of playing for the future and also execute the present.
You know what I think they're trying to do? I think they want to lose. They being Kyle Dubas. I think Kyle Dubas wants to lose. Mike Sullivan obviously doesn't. Crosby doesn't. Malkin's hurt. But Malkin, Letang, Crosby, Rust, those guys don't want to lose hockey games.
Mm-mm.
And no player has ever really wanted to be part of a tank. There's no players or coaches, except for like pre-Mario, that are saying, we need to go out there and give it our best to lose today. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, Brian Flores, when the whole tank for Tua thing, he wanted to win. Coaches want to win. Players want to win. But I think Kyle Dubas wants to lose. But I think he's having a tough time with this here because he doesn't want to be super transparent to the Crosbys, Malkins, Letangs of the world in that fact. Like, I think he's going to have a hard time, just as an example, trading Ricard Raquel because he wants there to be a top six winger for these guys. And so it's not Crosby and Malkin and a bunch of jabronis skating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really difficult thing to do.
I wonder what message he's getting from up top. What do you think Fenway's saying right now? About, do you think that they have the sports acumen to think that they should tank? Or it's like, we still need to sell and make money, so.
You're one of the most observant people that I have ever met, Doran Dickerson. And I think you could sense there in me, I almost went in that direction. I don't know the answer to that.
Me neither.
Which is why I didn't go there. I was about to say, I don't know. If they were smart, they shouldn't want to meander around in like half competitiveville. And they're not. I mean, in the standings, they're not competitive right now. But they still have some pretty good players, particularly in the top six and in the top of their defense core. If you're Fenway, you should want to get good as fast as possible. And I think in order to get good as fast as possible, you need to lean into stinking as quickly as you can and try to stay there right now. So Josh Yoey for The Athletic, this just came out this morning. It's what got me thinking about this, Doran. He wrote, and he's, I think, for my money, him and Rossi, the best Penguins insiders out there. He said, Kyle Dubas wants to aggressively sell. He might not entirely get his wish until this summer simply because it's a great unknown whether this will be a busy trade deadline around the league. In recent years, the week between the NHL draft and the July 1st free agency opening has produced the most fireworks around the league. But Dubas prefers to land young NHL players or prospects over draft picks. Make no mistakes, though, the Penguins are still perfectly agreeable to add draft picks. So, Dubas wants to sell. I bet you it won't happen until the summertime.
It won't. Yeah, it's not going to happen now.
Because then you can say to Crosby, hey, we gave you the rest of the year with Raquel. Mm-hmm. We know how you guys got hot down the stretch. Hey, I think Pettersson's going to go because you can't trade him this offseason. He'll be gone. He'll walk away. But Raquel would be the guy. Drew O'Connor, another one rumored. I don't know that they're going to go before the deadline. And I think you're more likely to get a good return now than in the summer. Like, you can get more complex things done in the summertime. I think teams are more desperate now, and you can prey more on desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to get done before the deadline. And I would love, because the other thing is, not only could you maybe get a more desperate team, you also are ruining your roster.
Yeah.
Making it thus harder to win. Get a top five draft pick. Accept where you are. Accept that you suck. And I actually think their roster is better than their place in the standings, which calls into question some coaching type things. It's time for the roster to meet the place in the standings to then keep you in that cellar of the standings.
If they sell, and say they sell a little bit now and then more in the summer, does that mean that Sullivan is gone? Or do you want to start this rebuild with him?
I'm fine either way. That's a really weird place to be, isn't it? As a radio host, or even as a fan. Like, oh, do you want Sullivan to be gone, or do you not want him to be gone? My buddy was over. We were watching the championship games last weekend. We had the exact conversation. I don't care. Like, you're going to stink it for my plan either way. I think Mike Sullivan's a great coach. My problem with Sullivan is that I think his message, like it often happens in the NHL, is stale. Well, it ain't going to be stale when all the new players come in, because they're not going to have experience, that guy. I am literally okay either way.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Egger, who is a Cincinnati radio host, came on before the Steelers played the Bengals. And he was asked by Donnie Football, what do you think about Zach Taylor? He said, I could take him or leave him. I could take Sully or leave him.
Yeah.
I think you can stink with him. I think you can stink without him. And I think he could win with the right crop of guys. I just don't think he can win with these guys anymore. What about you? I mean, sorry, one last thing. Like, I do think the resume of late, like, if there were accountability, he probably should be let go. So from that standpoint, maybe you do it. But again, one way or the other, it doesn't really move the needle for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat.
Yeah.
You've swayed me to that. I was leaning towards, if you're going to tear it down, let's start it with somebody else that you could build with. You know, a different voice, a different opportunity for a head coach that you can, if you're going to break it down to the studs, you can build it up to the house with a guy that could at the same time be learning and developing on the job and understand the guys that he has. And then by time it's, you know, ready to get going again, he can be ready to roll.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can go either way.
I'm wondering how much, like, has he not evolved with the times, or does he just think he has a faster roster that he does? Like, if you get him the necessary pieces, can you still play that up-tempo game? Has the league passed him by? I think they're all valid questions. I don't have the answer to them. I also am really frustrated by the whole Fenway Sportsbook, Sports Group thing. Like, to go back to your question, like, we feel like we have a bead on Art. and on Pirates ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Like, we just refer to this ambiguous being, this Fenway Sports Group. Like, who's even calling the damn shots? Like, does John Henry even pay attention to this? Like,
I just think that they're businessmen. And whenever, you know, you got a bunch of guys that are in suits and you have meetings all the time, if you're Dubis, you're like, hey, we need to tear it down. We need to rebuild. And they're like, well, we're going to lose money if we rebuild. So you're fighting that battle if you're Dubis. And then you obviously have the on-ice product with Sullivan and the players that's like, well, you know, we want to win. I think Dubas is in a very tough spot right now.
Yeah.
Very tough spot of trying to play both games. And that's what it's always going to be, and that's what it was always going to be as soon as Fenway acquired the Penguins. They're businessmen. At the end of the day, they don't care about the intricacies of hockey and dynamics of hockey. They want to make money. So I don't know if they even have that thought process of, hey, in hockey, this sport, you got to tear it down to get back to where you were. I don't even know if they even think that way. Owning a hockey team.
And we're so spoiled because we had Lemieux here, who obviously got it. Be one of the great players of all time. And so he's going to...
He knew. Yeah.
He was a great business guy. Burkle, great business guy. But he knew hockey.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
If these guys are only looking at it from a business standpoint, though, they have to see what's going on here. Like, the whole keeping the band together thing just to sell tickets while you transition to the next era, they're not selling the tickets. So you would think that they would want to move on. But again, I refer to them as the they, because I have no friggin' idea who we're even talking about.
Now, who else do they own again, Fenway?
Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
And aren't the Red Sox, right?
Red Sox. So maybe over the weekend we'll do a deep dive of if they've ever been in the situation with the other clubs, with the other sports teams, and see how they handled those things.
Yeah, why don't you do that, and then you let me know what you find.
I thought you were going to do that.
Maybe Kalis will just
I thought you were going to do that while you're rooting for the Penguins to lose. It's, you know, you're killing two birds with one stone.
When I said that, you're going to be like, you jackass. Yeah, no, you're not. You're not freaking...
Right.
Texter, so you're fine with Sullivan but not Tomlin? Here's the difference between those two to me. Both have underachieved. Oh, my God. What time is it?
Yeah, we might as well just take it up 3 more minutes.
I haven't even looked at the clock in like 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Kalis. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I turned full Starkey there. We go full Penguin segment, and it goes forever.
Well, that's my fault, too. I mean, I got to be accountable. I did see the time, and I was just thinking that, hey, we're rolling.
Since you've now admitted your accountability, you should be doing the Fenway Sports Group homework over the weekend.
No, you can do it.
Kalis, let us know what you find out.
I'm very good at delegating.
I got too much to do already. I'm not doing that.
I got to buy a van. Got to take a 4-hour shower.
Sit on the toilet wet.
Do you think I did van research while I was in this booth before I bought it?
Yes.
I think you have, actually.
Yes.
Yes, the reason I'm not fine with Sullivan, I am just apathetic to Sullivan because I don't look at him as the biggest problem. I think Hextall screwed it up. I think the end of Rutherford screwed it up. Sullivan's part of the problem. To me, he's not the problem. Like, those guys had a bigger say on roster than Sullivan did, not to say he didn't have input. Mike Tomlin's got more power with the Steelers than Sullivan does with the Penguins. Or at least did whenever stuff was still salvageable.
Does Mike Tomlin have more power with the Steelers than Sidney Crosby does with the Penguins?
Yes. Yes.
Think?
Yes. They're similar in that I think both franchises view them bigger than the franchise. Like, Mike Tomlin, whether they admit it or not, they now put ahead of the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Penguins do the same thing. I just don't think Crosby
has the voice.
Yeah. He's not doing the Myles Garrett thing where he's going into the boardroom and he's going to try to swing it around. You know what I mean?
But whenever it comes down to his guys, I bet you they inquire. I bet you he's a part of those meetings.
It's actually a really good question.
We've never been more out of time in the history of this show.
Well, we'll just take it up.
I think we have taken it up at this point.
Yeah.